KOA 1, the hit.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins, John Russell, Dan Novak, and Brian Lynn. Jill lets us know about the growing problem of children accidentally eating items containing marijuana in the U.S. More and more states are voting to make the drug legal, and it can now be sold in the form of candy or other sweet items that appeal to children. John follows with a story about a painter in Argentina who has found a way to sell money for more than it is worth. After that, Dan Novak joins us for a story about a group of Americans having trouble moving on from the COVID-19 pandemic, those with young children. Then, Brian Lynn is here with news of glaciers. A group of scientists made predictions about the state of the world's glaciers based on different levels of temperature change over the next 80 years. And to close the show, come along with Anna Mateo as she teaches us some Roman history in this week's Words and Their Stories. But first, here's my story about a group of Ukrainian soldiers who will be in the U.S. soon for special training. About 100 Ukrainian soldiers will arrive in the United States as soon as next week to begin training on the Patriot Missile Defense System. The system is able to identify and shoot down enemy aircraft and missiles. The decision to train the Ukrainian soldiers and provide the missile defense system came out of the December visit to the U.S. by President Volodymyr Zelensky. The Ukrainian president said the system and training would make a difference in his country's war with Russia. The number of soldiers coming to the U.S. is the number required to operate one missile system. An American military spokesperson said the soldiers will also learn about long-term care for the system. The official also said Ukraine's armed forces will be reduced by 100 soldiers during the training period, which normally takes many months. The Ukrainian training will be briefer, so the soldiers can return to the ongoing fighting. The soldiers will stay at Fort Sill, a Patriot missile training center. The U.S. offered Ukraine one missile system during meetings in December, along with other military aid. Germany also offered a Patriot system last week. Each Patriot system comes with 8 launchers that carry 4 missiles. The U.S. said it has 16 groups of soldiers that operate Patriot missile systems. The Patriot systems will add to air defenses already sent by the U.S. and other NATO partners. Ukraine has been defending itself from Russian missile and drone attacks for nearly 1 year. The war started in late February of last year. I'm Dan Friedel.
A study published recently
found that the number of children who accidentally ate foods containing the drug marijuana increased over 5 years. Many areas in the United States have voted to make the drug marijuana legal during that time period. More than 7,000 confirmed cases of children younger than 6 years old eating foods made with marijuana were reported to the nation's poison control centers between 2017 and 2021. Reported incidents increased from about 200 to more than 3,000 per year. New research was published in a study in Pediatrics. The study found nearly one-fourth of the children had to go to the hospital. Some became seriously ill. Dr. Marit Tweet is a medical toxicologist, an expert on poisons, with the Southern Illinois School of Medicine. She led the study. She said cases of children eating marijuana products, including sweets, are happening as more states permit medical and recreational marijuana use. Tweet called for parents to be more careful. She also called for new laws to make marijuana products less appealing and less usable for children. Marijuana products often take the form of candies and foods. At least two states, Colorado and Washington, have such laws. When it's in a candy form or cookies, people don't think of it in the same way as household chemicals or other things a child could get into, she said. But people should really be thinking of it as a medication. Tweet and her co-researchers examined reports from the National Poison Data System. It includes 55 poison control centers across the country. More than half of the children affected were between the ages of 2 and 3, the study showed. More than 90% got the marijuana food products, called edibles, at home. They're the ones starting to explore and to get up and move around, she said. Of more than 7,000 reports, researchers were able to follow the outcomes of nearly 5,000 cases. They found that nearly 600 children, or about 8%, were admitted to critical care services, most often with depressed breathing or even coma. Nearly 15% were admitted to non-critical care units, and more than a third were seen in emergency rooms. Tiredness, breathing problems, fast heart rate, and vomiting were the most common symptoms. Dr. Brian Schultz is an emergency doctor who works with children at Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore. He said the results are not surprising. He formerly worked at Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. In the nation's capital, he and his co-workers treated children who had eaten marijuana edibles almost on a daily basis, he said. Reports and hospitalizations increased during the last 2 years of the study, during the COVID-19 pandemic. More children were at home, with more chances to find marijuana edibles, Tweet said. With marijuana more widely legal, parents may have felt less stigma seeking help from poison centers and healthcare providers, she added. I'm Jill Robbins.
Inflation has caused Argentinian artist Sergio Guillermo Diaz to create an unusual kind of art. He paints on money and sells it. With yearly inflation that likely neared 100% last year, Argentina's 1,000 peso bill is worth around $5.60 officially and only $3 on private markets. Diaz, in a talk with Reuters in the northern city of Salta, said, "It makes sense for me to paint on the largest denominated bill here in Argentina. Once I paint on it, I can sell it for much more than what the bill is worth." He says he includes ideas about inflation and the peso's loss of value into his works, which also feature the U.S. $1 bill. On the money, he has painted pictures such as soccer star Lionel Messi lifting the World Cup. He has also created images about the peso's loss of value in recent years, a change that has helped pull 40% of the country's population into poverty. Diaz said his work shows how inflation is lived, how this is growing, which ultimately affects us all, totally affects our lives and our purchasing power, how we are living through this crisis. I'm John Russell.
For working parents with young children, it seems like the rest of the world has moved on from the pandemic. But COVID-19 and other illnesses continue to cause disruptions in childcare. Such disruptions have severely affected these families' lives. Catherine Ann Edwards has a 3-year-old son who goes to daycare. He has missed 47 days of childcare in the past year. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, COVID-19, and 2 outbreaks of hand, foot, and mouth disease struck one after another. The illnesses were so disruptive that Edwards quit her full-time job. She now does independent contract work, which makes it easier to care for her son and her 4-month-old daughter when childcare is not available. "The rest of the world has moved on from the crisis that I'm still in," said Edwards. "That's sometimes how it feels like to me." In the first and second year of the COVID-19 pandemic, quarantines and isolations were common for many Americans. The arrival of vaccines for younger children and the end of quarantine requirements for COVID exposure were supposed to bring relief. Instead, families have faced what some call a triple-demic. Children's hospitals are filled up with patients with flu, COVID-19, and RSV. The diseases are now threatening the already stressed childcare system. It is also forcing parents to miss a lot of work. A record-high 104,000 people missed work in October because of childcare problems, passing even early pandemic levels, federal data shows. Missing work has hurt many parents' finances. Most of those who missed work in October because of childcare problems did not get paid. That information comes from the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank based in Washington, D.C. Now, doctors are preparing for the number of sick children to rise after families gathered for the holidays. Illnesses among teachers and children have put pressure on a childcare system that is already short on workers. "This is the worst year I've ever seen in my entire life," said Shauna Byerjohn. She is owner of Muddy Puddle's Early Learning Program in Massachusetts. She faces a constant battle of staff and children being sick with a different virus every day. There is often not even a substitute teacher available if the classroom teacher calls in sick, she added. Jenna Williams teaches at a daycare center in Washington, D.C. She said illnesses have caused classroom shutdowns almost weekly since October. Her 19-month-old daughter also attends the daycare and has been sick with the same viruses. You want to stay home and care for your child, Williams said. But then it's like, you have to get to work. At the pandemic's peak, more than one-third of daycare jobs were lost, Edwards said. Hiring has not fully recovered. As of November, the country had 8% fewer child care workers than before the pandemic, federal data shows. The current strong labor market has driven up the cost to hire new workers. That means child care centers often cost a lot of money, and openings are hard to find. And centers with openings may close when workers or kids are sick. Disruptions due to illness can affect even very young children. Parents who are worried about their job or money can cause stress for a baby. This stress can in turn cause sleep, stomach, and socialization problems, said Dr. Sherry Alderman. She is a developmental behavioral doctor for children. The continued crisis for young families causes parents to feel lonely, especially as other Americans' lives have returned to normal, said Lauren Hipp. She is with Moms Rising, an advocacy group. I feel pretty angry about it, said Hipp, a mother of three. To feel like society has passed you by is a really difficult and lonely feeling. I'm Dan Novak.
A new study has found that nearly 70% of the world's glaciers could disappear by the end of 2100. A group of international scientists recently reported the study in the publication Science. They said their predictions were based on current climate change developments. However, the researchers noted many glaciers can be saved if planet warming is reduced. The findings provide the most detailed examination yet of the world's 215,000 glaciers. The study considered four possible world temperature rises. One is a 1.5 degrees Celsius increase in the average world temperature. A 2015 international treaty called the Paris Agreement established a targeted long-term warming limit of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The agreement aims to limit the harmful effects of climate change on Earth. The study also considered possible temperature rises of 2, 3, and 4 degrees Celsius. Regina Hawk is a professor of geophysics at the University of Oslo and University of Alaska Fairbanks. She was a co-writer of the study. She told the French news agency AFP, every degree increase produces more melt and loss. Hook added that if Earth's temperature can be reduced, glacier losses can also be limited. In that sense, there is also a little bit of hope, she said. The study found that even if world temperature rise is limited to 1.5 Celsius above pre-industrial levels, an estimated 49% of the world's glaciers would disappear by the year 2100. That amount of loss would represent about 26% of the world's total glacier mass. Current estimates suggest that if climate change keeps heading in the same direction, the world is set to have a 2.7 Celsius rise in temperature. That increase would cause nearly all glaciers in Central Europe, Western Canada, the continental United States, and New Zealand to melt by 2100, the study found. If the world temperature rose as high as 4 degrees Celsius, large glaciers such as those in Alaska would be more affected, and 83% of glaciers would melt away by the end of the century, the researchers predicted. The scientists noted that glacier loss would also worsen the problem of sea level rise. For example, the study found that warming of 1.5 degrees would lead to an average sea level rise of 9 centimeters. Temperatures of 4 degrees would cause 15 centimeters of sea level rise. The disappearance of glaciers will also affect water resources, the researchers said. Glaciers provide fresh water for about 2 billion people. The study's predictions were reached through observations of the size of each glacier over many years. The researchers also used computer simulations to arrive at the new findings. Hawk noted that it is currently unclear whether the study's estimates will come true. But she said the extreme predictions do not mean that it is too late to reduce glacier loss through human actions. Hawk urged policymakers around the world to take action now to prevent such glacier loss from happening. I'm Brian Lynn.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give examples and notes on usage. Sometimes we tell about their origin story, where they come from. But origins are often a lot of guesswork. We often don't know how some expressions began. That is not the case with today's expression, to cross the Rubicon. But before we talk about its origin, let's talk about its meaning. To cross the Rubicon means to make a decision of permanence. It cannot be changed. It is irreversible. A done deal. No cancellations. Someone who has crossed the Rubicon has reached a point where they cannot change a course of action. In other words, there is no going back. Now for its origin. This expression comes from a story about Julius Caesar. Rubicon is the name of the river he crossed with his army. Experts say this started a civil war in Rome in 49 BCE. When our enemies draw a line in the sand and we pass over that line, we could also say we have crossed the Rubicon. Therefore, the result or consequence of the decision or action is severe. It has weight. If I cross the Rubicon, I have made a fateful and final decision. Therefore, we don't use this expression for low-stakes situations, times when nothing is at stake. If nothing is at stake, nothing important is at risk. For those lighter times, we can say, that ship has sailed, or that train has left the station. So save cross the Rubicon for a heavy, meaningful decision or action. Here are two friends using the expression.
Did you hear about Angela and Dimitri? They broke up.
What? They seemed like such a great couple. What happened?
Well, Angela accepted a dream job out in Alaska. She's going to be researching polar bears.
That sounds great.
It is great. For her. The problem is, she didn't tell Dimitri. He found out from some guy who works at their favorite coffee shop.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Dimitri said he can forgive a lot, but not this. She crossed the Rubicon when she decided to move without telling him first.
I like Angela, but Dimitri has a point.
And that brings us to the end of this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. We are joined now on the program by the presenter of Words and Their Stories, Anna Mateo. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Dan, and thanks for lending your voice to this week's episode.
You're welcome, Anna. Happy to help. So, I had heard of the idea of crossing the Rubicon, but not thought much about where the saying comes from. So, this week's episode was educational for me. How did the topic come to mind?
I get ideas for my stories from just about everywhere. We use so many idioms when we talk. For this story, I learned about the origin of Cross the Rubicon from the television game show Jeopardy. And I thought it would make a good story.
I have to say, Jeopardy has given me a lot of topics to Google or look up over the years. Speaking of looking things up, what are some other episodes of Words and Their Stories with sayings that have to do with making a decision and not turning back?
We have many. In my story, I mention the train has left the station, and that ship has sailed. Those mean it is too late to change your mind or do something else. Another one is to cross the line. That means you've gone too far and can't go back.
Thanks, Anna. I'm sure our new listeners will take advantage of our website at learningenglish.voanews.com to look up some of those sayings.
Sure thing, Dan. It's always fun talking about English expressions.
Thanks again, Anna, and thanks to all our VOA colleagues for the work on today's program. We heard from Jill Robbins, John Russell, Dan Novak, and Brian Lynn. Tell us, which story did you like the most? Visit us at VOA Learn English on Facebook and send us a message to let us know. Please join us again tomorrow to keep learning English with stories from around the world. I'm Dan Friedel.